This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hi, and welcome to Talking Banter, the official dynamic banter after show. I'm your host, Brett Register, and today we're talking about episode 6, which was appropriately named Bees. So much to unpack here, but before we do, I want to introduce you to my guest. I'm excited. I can't believe we got him. Owen Carter, thank you for being here with us today to talk about Dynamic Banter.
Oh, yeah. Happy to be here.
What is your... So you're the disembodied voice that is... You got a lot of ear time this week, but what's your official title on the show?
I don't know.
I thought you were the editor.
No.
Okay.
Steve does all that. I don't really do that much.
You're like the sixth man on a basketball team.
I'm like quality control, you know? I feel like they're just like testing shit out on me.
You just re-listened to the episode? Do you remember what you said the first time you were referenced?
In the episode?
Yeah.
What did I say? The new podcast, I've been keeping it to a minimum.
Of your engagement?
Yeah, because people got really pissed on Cloverfields that I was unintelligible in the background. So this time around, I've been trying to like save it.
Well, there's a third microphone. What's stopping you from just being on the podcast?
Because it's not my show. It's not my thing.
No, that's a good answer.
Yeah.
I'm listening back through Cloverfields. Before we get into 6, we should go to 5. Because we weren't on the air last week, and there's a lot to cover. Steve got a new audio setup.
Yep.
I could not tell a difference in audio quality. And now I'm going back and listening through Cloverfields, and I still don't notice a difference. But I notice his excitement level is higher for the mics and the setup, which
makes
me
happy. He feels
better
about it, yeah.
Is there a difference? Because you're like, you know, technical.
Yeah,
technical advisor.
I haven't really know.
You're the official technical advisor.
It's just people talking, and as long as it doesn't sound like garbage, it's probably fine. But you know, it's like when you wear like a nice outfit, you walk more confidently. You know, good for the content.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, that's good insider information.
Well, I'm sitting right over there usually.
Before we get into breaking down the episode, I had one big problem with this episode. One gripe, if you will.
Okay.
And it's not that Steve talked about bees for 40 plus minutes.
Sure that's not a gripe?
No, that was totally fine.
Okay.
But at the end of 5, Steve and Mike said the next episode would be all about VidCon. And it wasn't. There was no mention. And I value continuity in dynamic banter. So if they ever listen to this, they should know they got to pick that ball up in 7.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, I assumed you were also upset.
No, I think the best shows, I know I'm Breaking Bad and stuff, their biggest philosophy was like, mind your history, you know, really play off of what you've established. It's almost more important than what you're establishing at the time.
Yeah.
It's how you use it as it goes on. So, yeah. Sounds like a little bit of a fumble, but I think they could pick it up.
It's still early in the show, though.
Right.
You just got to pick up that ball and keep going.
Yeah, you know.
Okay, let's get into the good stuff. First of all, I'm going to start with the end and that History Road came back. What is it like scoring an episode of History Road? That's a good answer. Next question. What does Mike Falzone do during a History Road?
When it started off, he was doing like sound effects and stuff. But
that's over.
Yeah. The last. Well, there hasn't been a History Road for a while until the other night.
Right. Well, I thought there wasn't because you were putting the kibosh on it.
No, not at all. I'm just at work or busy or whatever.
Okay.
Like, I intend to be here for those things. Just the last couple haven't worked out because of things like VidCon. But we don't know what happened at VidCon.
I would love to have talked about VidCon
on
this episode of Talking Banter, but we're going to have to save it. We're going to have to save it. And
No kibosh. I love
it?
All right. Yeah. I played a couple of Halloween shows with like an improv group and stuff that were, it's really fun, that kind of like live scoring.
Is that true? Thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is that? What did that entail?
Well, they do like, they would establish like a half hour of like improv based off of like a premise or something. And it was like an audience.
But it was only around Halloween?
Yeah. It was like their Halloween show or whatever. So it always like, whatever the suggestion for the audience was, it would like evolve into that kind of horror movie. Okay. So I got to do like different like old like organ style things or like 80s synth, like Friday the 13th kind of things, you know, depending on what the improv.
And you had no idea at that point that that aspect of your life was going to come back in such a huge way.
No idea.
On during History Road.
I know, right? It's crazy. The littlest thing leads to the most massive thing that's ever happened in my life. It's crazy.
That's a great story. You should write that down in narrative and submit it to be read on the podcast.
Interesting. Yeah, right? Get a transcript of what I said and then have someone like say it.
Right.
Yeah. That'd be good.
Do that and email it to
talkandbanter@gmail.com.
It technically has an apostrophe, but you don't need to type that.
Talking
for the
banter
Gmail.
With a G was taken, so you had to get talking banter.
You know, I'll be honest, I didn't even try it with a G. I was so committed to the apostrophe that I didn't even put it in there.
I get it.
Now, did the group only do it on Halloween, or did they do it throughout the year and you only got invited for Halloween?
I don't know. I only got invited for Halloween. They might have done it all year round.
Can you find that out for the next time you're on Talking Banter?
The whole point of Talking Banter is to cover the bases, so I get it, and I will look into it, because we're here to answer all the unanswered questions.
Good. I think that's all the gotcha journalism. No, that's not true. I've got another one. So Steve did a series of Snapchats about bees that you described as art. According to him. And I didn't see that Snapchat, and I was wondering if you could just explain it to me in depth.
Happily.
Okay. Now.
I didn't say it was, like, art, like the way you would describe, like, oh, the Mona Lisa, that's art, you know, or it's not one of those. I didn't say it was art. What I said is.
Have you ever seen a Snapchat that is art for a point of reference?
That's interesting. Well, this might count then. Because what I said is that I felt like he really had a grasp of the medium. Like, this is, for someone who's skilled in the brushstrokes of Snapchatting, he's very skilled. He's able to use that medium for all it should be.
You said all that?
You could have just
called it art.
I think maybe I just did say. Okay. I think I said something like, this is art in your in the medium of Snapchat. If Snapchat is a medium, like, you're an artist with this. So yeah.
So that. What happened in the snap, in the series of snaps?
I don't really remember, but I think at the end there was a bunch of pictures of bees, and it was funny.
It was more of an emotional response.
It was a long like rant, and then it ended with a bunch of cartoon bees. I actually would like to see it again, because it's funny that he brought it up, because I don't really remember.
Well, Steve said he's going to post it, so.
I know, but Steve lies about a lot of things.
It sounds about right.
Steve Zaragoza is a liar. Often.
All right. Well, I feel like we're getting lost on one thing. We've got so much to get through.
So much.
A lot of bee talk. A lot of bee talk after a lot of talk about getting pulled over. And having paid attention, I'm not totally sure how one fed into the other. But being here.
Being here?
Being here. Were you, A, interested in learning about this bee knowledge? B, disinterested in all the bee information? Or C, not paying attention?
No, a lot of options.
There's three options.
I was interested for a while, but at a point I did leave the room to smoke a cigarette outside instead with the door closed and not listening.
Did you feel lost when you came back?
No. There was, I felt like it got really covered, like, plenty.
As the technical advisor of Dynamic Banter, did you feel the need to step in and move on from the B-talk?
That's interesting.
Did you ever even consider?
I don't know that I've ever had to step in, but it's definitely on my mind.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
I feel like it's like with a lot of the things we do. Sometimes you just let it, the camera roll. Mm-hmm. Because we can now. It's not, you're not worried about burning film and money and right. stuff. And so sometimes magic happens, sometimes it doesn't, but that's why there's editing, you know?
Do you think that they should focus on one topic moving forward?
Hmm. I don't exactly know. I don't know what I want from the show, because it's kind of... It's entertaining when they're focused, and it's entertaining when they're not. So, you know, I don't think we should put them into, like...
any sort of box?
Yeah, right? Like, they're so funny and so imaginative and so interesting and creative.
Right.
I just can't wait to see what they're going to come up with next. So, I say let it go. Steve Zaragoza and Mike Falzone are the funniest, most creative, original people I've heard in my whole life.
So bees. When I first saw the episode on my phone, I thought it said beer. And I was like, this is going to be interesting because Steve doesn't drink. But speaking of the future of the show, and I know we've got a ton to get to with this episode, but back to five, it was revealed that all this commentarium talk... when are we going to see, hear the commentary on what's the movie going to be? And they fucking have already dropped the pilot episode of Commentarium on Cloverfield. That's why I went back through and started listening to it.
It was like a sneak attack.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
So.
I'm surprised there hasn't been a Commentarium.
Well, that was my next question was going to be. So we got 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Which is amazing.
And that's in game because Steve confirmed that on the last Dynamic Banter. Right. So that is officially... He didn't say Cloverfield. Cloverfield was actually the first one, but...
He confirmed...
I don't want to question...
He confirmed it's a commentary.
Okay.
Yeah.
So...
We don't have to be like fans calling it that. That's definitely Commentarium Episode 1. Whatever the hell
right.
they're calling it. Yeah.
So Episode 2. And if you know, feel free to break the exclusive. When we're getting episode 2 and what that movie might be.
I have no idea, but we know we've got a lot to get through. So we'll move. I would offer information if I had it, but I don't. So let's keep it going because we got so much to get
through. Oh, yeah, we can definitely move on. I mean, you clearly know the answer to that question. And you're dodging
I'm
it.
I'm happy to answer all. I'm not a. I'm
but
honest.
Okay. So, got to talk about bees. We got to get there. So I've got some B notes here, and I wanna quiz you a little bit to see how close you're paying attention.
Oh, okay.
All right.
That's a good game.
If you smell a banana, what does that mean?
Is that the smell of their attack pheromones?
I literally just wrote, "There's a bee nearby." Next question.
Mm-hmm.
When is the only time that a queen bee uses its stinger?
When it's fighting other queen bees.
That's correct. That was a really good one. That was a tough question.
I chimed in on that part of the conversation, if you remember correctly.
Oh, did you?
So I definitely was, at least that part I was... fully participating.
You got to come to the microphone if you're going to... No. During Dynamic Banter.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's not... I don't feel like it's appropriate for some reason. I don't know.
I like that you're off off mic. It adds mystery.
Right? I'm just sitting on the couch playing Tetris, and I can't be bothered.
I mean, I've seen the room, so I know what it looks like. But people who haven't, it's fun to imagine that you're just in like a black box, and you're the only person in the crowd. You're the only person there for the show, and you're just yelling out your opinions. Okay, next question. What happens if you hear a cricket?
If you hear a cricket. Right. Oh, shit. I believe you get a ticket.
That's amazing, because that was a trick question. That was a total, that was a left field trick question. I'm super impressed.
Did you see Rhino Ball's tweet?
No.
Oh. I don't know that Brett's familiar with Rhino Balls. I think this is going to be a whole extra element to this podcast. Rhino Balls is a sensational...
I'm excited.
...supporter of ours, and he's got the sense of humor, and he nails it from time to time, you know? Like, he's got the... like, we all
I hope
do.
He supports this after show.
Yeah. Let's see. Where the fuck is Rhino Balls? I gotta...
Yeah, take your time. This is... people are in their cars.
Ryan Faroke.
They can't really go anywhere at this point.
Do you think most people listen to something like this in their car?
I listen to Dynamic Banter in my car. That's what I was saying earlier, is that I felt like Mike was talking directly to me because I was driving across town in traffic.
Oh, yeah.
As the B.
Yeah.
Condo check this unpacked. Out. All right. Oh, man. This is from Rhino Balls?
Yeah.
You being quiet as a cricket? No value can take it.
And who's
I wrote the question wrong.
Who's the organization?
NSTSC3A5953AN.com.
Oh, is that the National Highway Traffic and Scoot Program?
That's incredible. That's Rhino Balls on Twitter?
You will become familiar.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I cannot wait. That went on for a long time. What is your traffic stopping stories? I felt like Mike was really neglecting to divulge.
I
some
wanted
crazy
to hear what when he said that
related,
you know, because sometimes your car is on fire. I wanted to hear that story. Did he get pulled over once in a car that was on fire? I'm so curious to know.
We can only speculate. I mean...
there's not...
We did get the whole story about him driving the band around because he wouldn't ask the bassist because his name is in the band, which I think is actually...
It's great.
Yeah,
it's great.
I'm totally for that.
I feel like I know Mike better because of that story, you know?
Right. Right. But at the same time...
What was with the car on fire? I've got to know.
Well, tours are crazy. Like, my brother was on tour for most of his adult life.
You think Mike was like a rock and roll touring band?
Is that not the case?
You think Mike's got some real life on the road stories?
Well, my brother would. My brother had a band like right out of high school, and they would tour up the East Coast. But it was like staying in really questionable Motel Sixes. Like, he would tell me stories that they were like free HBO was displayed on the sign outside, but when they got in, he would turn it on the HBO channel, and it was clearly someone had like recorded on a videotape HBO from their house and was just playing it to all the rooms.
Want to watch my videotape of HBO? It's free.
And there was one where they advertised for a pool, so they all got their bathing suits on and went down there, and it was completely empty with nothing but like a little puddle and a dead cat. And he was like, so those are the types of tours. So I imagine Mike was on a tour of that stature.
I feel like it was a weird, this is just my interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it was like a New York thing where he's like, he lived technically in Connecticut, but they would drive into the city, but it's probably only like us driving from the valley to downtown or something.
What, have you heard any of this music?
No, we have not gotten into Mike Falzone's music.
What kind of music is it?
I don't know.
So it could be anything.
It could be.
It could be like new wave ska.
It might be.
It probably is. It
probably is.
That's really...
No, I'm very interested to know about Mike's musical abilities, and it's never come up so far.
Oh, God. I feel like the after show is like serving a purpose.
There's a...
I hope this is being referenced.
There's a lot to unpack.
Oh, man, there's so much. Okay, so... Yeah, that story, I think, took the place of finding out why the car was on fire. But going back to my brother, they always have crazy stories. I feel like there are crazy tour stories that probably resulted in, you know, interactions with the policía.
I bet. And he seemed a little coy. You know?
I mean, he was like, I've gotten a lot of tickets.
Yeah.
I think I've been pulled over like 3 or 4 times total. Me personally.
Right.
And I remember every one of those infractions.
I feel like Steve was too distracted thinking about bees to give a fuck about what Mike was saying at that moment. I think he could have gotten a lot more out of it if he'd been paying attention to his co-host.
I think that's the case for a lot of dynamic banter.
I'm not criticizing at all. It's part of what makes it so fun. You know, when you feel like you're understanding the characters as it's happening.
Now, do you like that Steve chose to do research throughout the podcast and had the air of discovery when finding out about bees? Or would you prefer him to come
prepared,
knowledge in hand, PBS style?
Steve's
infotainment.
Steve's only good when the camera's rolling or whatever you want to call it. So, no, like his sense of discovery, that's what makes it great. That's okay. Why he should be doing that all the time, every podcast.
What I liked about all the bee talk was that Mike had the story about the bee that essentially attacked him at Crave.
Oh, yeah.
When he was flying through. So this is in continuity. This feels
you're
like...
You're mixing it up.
Wait, what?
The Crave was the June bug from episode 5.
But he referenced it.
Right.
Because Steve's scared of bees.
This really felt like a two-parter, huh?
Right. They've been building to this episode.
Yeah.
People will probably listen to this and think it was a one-off.
Right.
But it's been building. Like Steve talked about, he wouldn't get the bug out of the pool. And that Bree didn't want Bree to think he was a pussy. You know what else we learned in this episode? Mike's dad, not a pussy.
That's right.
That was an interesting piece of information.
Yeah.
Something else that probably could have been unpacked, but all the bee talk.
It was a lot of bee talk, huh?
There's both a lot to unpack and then also very little to unpack. Because once you cover bees, you're out. I could, we could keep spinning the bee plate, but I want to, there was a lot of nuggets intertwined.
It's almost like you're saying all of that, for all of the bee talk that took up most of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't leave you with a lot to discuss. Is that what you're saying?
No, I mean, Mike put it best in the podcast. There's a lot to unpack, and that's what we're here for, and that's what we're doing.
Oh, for sure.
So what I was trying to get to the story of the wasp in the pants leg of Mike's father.
Oh, yeah. I think it was a shirt.
How does that happen? Should I be nervous about that in my day-to-day life? Because I am now.
Right?
Now I fear, like, putting on shirts and pants without thoroughly investigating
their inhabitants. You look up on the wall, and there's a spider.
Sure.
And you just instantly, you're like, oh, when I had the window open for a few hours, it probably crawled into that little crack in the window.
I think, how long has that spider been here? And while I was sleeping, was it just walking across me?
Right.
I think, I don't know why, I always think that.
Yeah, for sure.
That's always my go-to. It's like, shit, there's spiders in here. I like to live in a world where there are no bugs in my apartment. But
bugs are tough because I want to be cool and, like, not care.
You want to be, like, a cool guy?
Yeah.
Or you want to be, like, we all are co-inhabitants in case
both
spiders become sentient and you can explain yourself.
We're all alive.
Okay.
Let's enjoy it. Whatever.
Okay.
But then also, like, it's a spider. There's a billion spiders. So I'm going to fucking crush it because I don't want it to crawl on my face when I'm asleep.
Right. Because sleeping is the worst because you could wake up and not be aware. Plus, we're of the age that Arachnophobia was a terrifying movie.
Oh, my God.
That ruined it for a lot of people.
When I lived in Phoenix for high school, there was a lot of Mormons.
Sure.
But one of the fun things the Mormons did was like a double date where they bring a couple girls over because they could only go like on double dates or whatever. You know? And so they pulled everything into the backyard, the TV and stuff, and would set it up in like a creepy part of the backyard with like spider webs and
what
shit.
What kind of TV?
Well, back then, you know, it was 4x3.
But like an old tube TV? They dragged it out of the house?
Yeah. And set
that's
up.
That's interesting.
With like spider webs and shit, and they would watch Arachnophobia.
You stay outside,
with the girls.
I think like, well, I thought you were going to say they were projecting it on like a big screen in their backyard, and you live next door, and we're like, fuck, what is that?
When I went to high school, it was 1996, which is 20 years ago, and there were tube TVs.
You still had those sweet, the rich people still had those fresh projectors with like the three big lenses that would just
the red,
shoot
blue,
RGB,
and green.
Right?
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, you could have rich neighbors.
Nah. They had 12 kids. They couldn't afford that shit.
So they put the tube TV in the midst of a bunch of spider webs to watch Arachnophobia?
To watch the Arachnophobia with the girls and like get them creeped out. And so they'd like get scared and want to get close. I don't know.
No, it's interesting. I was...
it's a fun idea, right?
Well, because I was brought up religious adjacent.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And, and we would
not
go
now.
To like...
Not now. There's not.
Halloween was always like... They want to acknowledge it, and they want you to be able to celebrate it so you're not a weirdo,
yeah.
But it's like Satan's holiday or whatever. Yeah. So our church would have like a Halloween fun get-together, and we would go to like haunted houses and stuff, and they would like just try to put it in like a Christian perspective. But it was more just like all the cute girls from church are going to be there, so you go. And then after they brought us back to like a rec center or whatever at the church and played like all these old Alfred Hitchcock movies. So like the first time I saw The Birds was like at this church Halloween thing.
Oh shit.
And I think back on that, I'm like, that's so bizarre. Like that's such a weird thing.
Man, I can't imagine that. Like, did your mind get blown like 12 different ways that day?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah,
when you look back on it and be like, that was the point where I was like, oh, about like everything.
Yeah.
Release
beyond
movies.
That, it was like at the last haunted house, I was like holding hands with the girl that I liked. So it's like a win-win situation.
Oh, yeah.
And that was like the fucking goal. So once you get the handhold in, then you go back to watch Creepy Birds. It's just like... Like high school relationships are so beautiful and simple, and like the smallest little
right?
thing, and they have such a like sharp. They're like milk. They have such a crazy expiration date. Like if it goes longer than a couple months, it's terrible. Like stop. Like move on. You need to grow up with your life before you make any decision.
But it was
like
so simple, right? It felt so innocent,
right? But I have this like I'm saying all that to say I have this really positive memory of The Birds. Because I was like watching it in this like specific environment with this girl, but it's like the church was trying to be like, listen, Halloween, they're gonna celebrate it. The sex, you know, everybody's gonna be doing weird stuff.
The we sex. Went,
I was gonna say the sexist, but that's not right. The secular culture.
Mm.
In Christian, they're always talking about the secular culture,
right.
Which means not Christian.
Secular sounds so evil, right?
Yeah, it sounds like you don't want to be secular until you reach a certain age and it's like all you want to be is
it's like
is
pagan.
Secular. Yeah.
Pagan's been fucked into like...
Pagan sounds like goats and you're burning.
Because it's been associated with like sadomasochist, whatever, pagan rituals, you know? Because
right.
If you were pagan, you weren't Christian and so you were fucking... Like evil or whatever.
Yeah.
Pagans worship like the holidays, like the seasons.
Right.
Like the sun and how the grass grows and what season it is. It's like, I think I'm okay with pagans.
But it sounds bad.
Right.
Secular
it's
sounds
been associated
and now
for
it's
so long.
Apparently sexist.
Now I'm like, bad. I think I'm basically pagan. And it's like, oh, you fucking Satanist.
Right. But
okay,
I just think it's funny that their hope was that I would leave with the memory of like, oh, let me put this in context and, you know. Jesus died for our sins, but my takeaway was Alfred Hitchcock is a genius, and I think me and Lindsay are dating, because that's all it took in high school. If you held someone's hand, you were officially like a thing.
I'm definitely sure now that I'm straight.
I don't have to go to that camp.
Yeah. So. I think a church sleepover thing was when I saw Spaceballs for the first time. And The Firm. We watched both of them.
The Firm is... What?
Yeah, we watched The Firm.
You should have watched Pelican Brief. That seems like the more church appropriate one.
Right. I think that one is PG-13 and The Firm's
is R. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know because I wasn't allowed to see R-rated movies until I was 17. Right. And I had seen The Pelican Brief and I'm like, is there more of this? And my dad's like, there is, but not until you're 17.
What was your first R-rated movie?
That I was like allowed to see?
Or no.
Or that I watched.
Yeah.
I don't, it's harder for me to remember like which one I watched, but I remember the first one I was allowed to see was Dead Man Walking.
It's so, like, so inconsequential and lame.
I know a lot of people's are like Terminator 2.
Yeah, right.
And I wasn't. That's like my older brother was able to see it and he wasn't 17. Right.
My
yet.
Cousin was allowed to watch every fucking horror movie.
Right. Like, well, now I have a 2-year-old and I question, you know, my decisions because the other thing was I always thought like if I didn't know them, if they weren't my friend.
Yeah.
Or like when I got older, when I was like in my 20s, if I saw a kid who was like 16 who had seen some like, I remember some kid was talking about that he'd seen 8 Mile. And I'm like, that kid shouldn't have been able to see 8 Mile. Like, that kid's a piece of shit. He doesn't need to see the Eminem movie. He needs to learn who he is first. So, I don't know.
When
I'm
are
like
you gonna
battling with that.
I remember, well, first of all, I snuck at my friend's house. His parents had rented and it was still there that the next day or whatever. When I was 10, we watched Backdraft.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I remember
they were like having sex on top of the fire truck. I thought that was pretty cool. And then the burn guy flew through the windshield of the car. That was pretty creepy and cool.
I remember that movie Blown Away was coming out. And I wasn't allowed to see it because it was R. And so I read the novelization. And then I read the novelization of Backdraft. So it wasn't until way later in life.
Why did novelizations of those movies exist?
I didn't go back and watch Backdraft until like way later in my life. And I'm like, this is what this was about?
What could any person, I guess you got something out of it because you couldn't see the movie.
Right.
What could any person get out of the novelization of Blown Away, though? That's so pointless.
I read a bunch of them. Like, that's how I first.
That's the market.
Understood,
that's
like,
who
Total Recall
them to, for sure.
And, like, other ones.
Total Recall's so good. I mean, genius.
You think that? Read the novelization.
Oh,
there's
shit.
So much more there. Now it does feel like a thing. Back when I was a kid, I was like, read the novelization of The Mask.
Yeah.
So I was just, like, after I saw it, I was like, this is the greatest movie that's ever been made.
The puzzle book that had some of the plot from Ghostbusters 2
in it.
Yeah.
Oh, I was talking about that because the new Ghostbusters is coming out, and I'm like, my last truly great memory, like the highest high that I might have ever been on, with the exception of like marriage and kid and like real life, but like totally superficial, was walking into the theater to see Ghostbusters 2. Like the poster was outside the door, and I got popcorn, and I was like, fucking losing my mind.
Yeah.
And I was one of the few that was like, that was incredible.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What a marvelous movie.
Yeah.
But it's interesting with the new one coming out and everybody is not, the trailer looks good. It doesn't look good.
Yeah.
It's exciting to have an all female Ghostbusters, but it doesn't look good.
It's exciting to have female anything.
Right. And so everyone's like, oh, you know, like they were going to make a sequel or remake or whatever.
Yeah.
But most of my friends hated Ghostbusters 2.
Ghostbusters 2, okay. Ghostbusters 1, Dan Aykroyd is a maniac, okay? That's where it all starts. Dan Aykroyd is an insane person, but he's lovable.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to get to know him.
Right.
So you got your Dan Aykroyd insanity, and you bring in Bill Murray, who loves Dan Aykroyd.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the audience surrogate for the first movie.
Sure.
That's why when he, like, we all remember when Slimer's attacking him in the hallway and he screams, because up until then he's been real cool, and when he screams, then it's like, oh shit, these ghosts are scary too, and it's like, that makes the whole thing work, right?
Right.
The second movie, he doesn't want to fucking be there. He's not in the uniform or anything. There's a scene where the three of them are going, we're going down to the sewers in our Ghostbusters outfits, you want to come? And he looks back at Sigourney Weaver and she goes, no, and he's like... sorry guys, and like walks off, and they go to dinner instead.
I just the second one feels like they know what they're making after the first one.
Yeah, but like, the first one's just like it's a right. You got that sequelitis, like.
Yeah, it's just like do the same thing again.
The first one's like, this is just one of our fuck around things. Like before that, they did Blues Brothers, which blew up, and before that, or around then, they did Neighbors, which was awful. You know, and so it's like they just they're not all going to be great. You just do one of you just like you make the next thing, and you always make the next thing. You know,
right?
Something in Ghostbusters, I think by the time it was like coming out, they knew it like had hype and shit, but they weren't. You know, that was when you just. Everyone was coked up and being creative. I don't know.
I have very fond memories of that movie. And then like
amazing.
It was it's one Turtles of those little... 2, Secret of the Ooze. I have.
Oh, hell yeah.
Did you go to Pizza Hut and get the flip books?
Oh shit, no.
Oh man. So for Turtles 2, if you got a personal pan pizza, they would give you a flip book that would have a small scene from the movie.
Oh, shit.
And there was 4 different flip books, if I remember correctly. Right. Yeah. And they each had, like, one of them was like the scene when he jumps out and defends the pizza boy at the beginning and, you know, some other shit.
Kino.
Wow. Well done. But I love thinking about that now because I'm like, there's so much for every movie. It's like you go to YouTube and you
all
see
the
trailers
shit.
And clips and everything
all
and
the
then I
shit.
Think back to TMNT 2, Secret of the Ooze, when I'm like flipping this fucking book to be like,
they're advertising
and then
it
them
to
in the
children
face.
Yeah, right. they had toys for R-rated movies and stuff.
Oh man,
it was kids better, are gonna like this.
It was a better time. The best thing to do now is like Game of Thrones Funkos. That's
man.
All they get.
If I was a kid, what would you imagine being like 10? Your parents like, okay, you can watch Game of Thrones.
Oh man, it would be the divide in high school.
It would be that thing where you're like,
it would
I'm
be like some
now.
Of you have seen it, some of you haven't.
Yeah,
and there's like a total division just based.
It's like
on
discovering
that.
Masturbation.
You just see it. There's just a glow about somebody, and it's like, oh, he's in.
Yeah,
he can come sit with us at the lunch table now.
My dad was so excited to show me R-rated movies finally.
Oh yeah, I mean, because now I know, like, now having a kid I see it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Even though he's so young, I still mm-hmm. see it. I see how it breaks down. It's like there's a point at which, because he can't see it, you can't see it.
Sure.
And so it sort of like breaks the dads down. Like, god damn, I just want to see sudden death.
Uh-huh.
I know it's not going to be good, but you know, I want to know what Van Damme is up to.
My dads were like Die Hard, Aliens, and Predator. 3 ones we had on tape that he like was so excited to show me when I was old enough or whatever. Like after like,
I had like
Park
seen all those on
out.
USA or something. Like my dad would be like, oh, yeah. Oh, this is a good one.
Yeah.
Sit down and watch
like,
this.
This was like, okay, the girls, my sisters and my mom, like they're going in the other room. We can watch Die Hard and like
nice.
Full violence, whatever. It was exciting. He was excited to show it, like whatever. It was kind of like a bonding thing.
Kids are totally desensitized now with the YouTube and everything. Like there's no way to protect them, I don't think, at this point.
Yeah, right.
I feel like it's worse for them. I would rather have like the magic of it a little bit.
I get
like
it.
Not being able to see
Halloween
and shit
like
until
Santa
I was older
or whatever, you know. It's just a few years of that thing when things are special.
It's like
it's
drinking
like
it's like becoming 21 almost. And it's like, you know, I think I want that for kids these
maybe,
days.
Maybe, but the older I get, the more I like wish I hadn't wasted all my fucking time being a dumb kid.
Well, yeah, youth is wasted on the innocent, but it's or the
on
the
young. Yeah,
I'm fucking terrible with my quotes
that's
today.
From It's a Wonderful Life.
But it's true. But also,
I mean,
it's like
I'm
there's
sure
nothing you can
said
do.
It, but I remember that old man.
I think just like every other father, like how do I let my son? How do I instill the information in my son so that he knows that none of this really matters and that you can just get as much out of it as you can and enjoy every second and don't worry about the fucking history test.
Right.
And, you know, someday you'll be 30 looking back on those
days. I never even thought about that. How do you say, like, none of this shit really matters, but, like, work really hard and get good grades and, like, what?
Well, I'm definitely going to be like, don't sleep with any girls because you get them pregnant and this doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So you're going to want to wait till it matters.
Yeah.
to risk it.
There's too much shit that can get fucked up. But we have so much to unpack.
Listen, I think I'm at the end of my notes. I literally think we unpacked every piece of this episode of Dynamic Banter.
For our first episode.
And a little bit of episode 5.
For our first episode, I think we might have just hit it out of the park.
I feel pretty good about this. I think if there was any questions left unanswered in DB, we covered them here.
What if DB. Should we have people ask us any more questions?
Oh my gosh. I would love if we missed anything.
Yeah.
Please let us know. If you want to hear anything different from this official Dynamic Banter after show, let us know.
I'll
hashtag talking banter. No G.
No G still in the hashtag?
Steve keeps talking about how great hashtags work. So talking banter or you can tweet at the official Dynamic Banter. We're watching.
We're watching there too. We don't have access.
We don't have access, but we're watching.
I just realized that I should probably have been about this close the whole time, and I was way back here.
I'm also having that realization.
Yeah.
Maybe
next time.
This is episode 1 of Talking Banter.
I've never podcasted before. Have you?
No.
Oh
no, absolutely not. You're not just until a fan. This moment right now. Speaking of podcasts, you either have another podcast coming out, or you had a podcast that just came out. That Steve teased, this is the end of covering Dynamic Banter, is at the end of Dynamic Banter in the basically post-credit scene of Dynamic Banter. Oh. Steve teased the next podcast, which was not named then, but is named now. No,
that's right.
Do you want to reveal that name right now? Do you remember what the name is?
I don't really remember the name. It has something to do with the first time. What is it? It feels like the first time. It
feels like the first time.
Yeah.
Rewatching Lost.
Rewatching Lost, but
expert level commentary.
I'm really impressed with our work so far. I can't wait till people get to hear it. We got a couple episodes done already.
Me too. And it's sort of like if you, it's gonna be one of those that if you got to listen to all of them. You got to cover
gotta
the
get
EZU.
Into the extended universe. Yeah.
Yeah. The extended cinematic. Zaragoza.
Oh, the EZU. We talked about it. Right.
The extended Zaragoza universe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is a real thing. It's happening.
Yeah.
And you don't want to miss not one of these Iron Man sequels or you're going to be left behind. And you don't want that.
Right.
You don't want that. So,
better listen to all the podcasts, watch all the sketches on SourceFed.
That's right. Table talk. You gotta listen to them in your car and then watch them during your lunch break. Only one a week now, so it's a lot more powerful. So, feels like this first time is gonna air normally Mondays. Normally Mondays.
We did decide that, right?
I don't know if it aired on Monday this week, but normally Mondays.
Yep. So it's a Monday morning, get you going, work's going to be tough, you're dreading it, you had a nice weekend off, and hopefully this helps.
Yeah, why don't you should take a trip to a tropical island in your mind.
Oh, that's good.
And revisit Lost with these gentlemen.
It's nice that they're on the beach in that show.
It really is. It feels like a vacation.
It's very pleasant. You got the waves crashing and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I need some sort of pineapple type drink for the next one, I think.
Yeah. It's a smart getaway as opposed to being like a terrible place.
Exactly. Yeah. Owen, thanks so much for joining me today.
Oh, I'm happy. Thanks for asking.
This was a real pleasure for me, and I hope I can convince you to come back another time.
Hopefully. That'd be great. I don't get to talk that much.
Well, at least not into a microphone.
Right.
All right. Well, this has been Talking Banter, the official Dynamic Banter after show.
Now it's official.
I'm Brett Register, and we will see you next time.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.